You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am back. The Super Bowl did me dirty. Honestly, why is the Super Bowl? Like, Stu Gotts on Dan Le Batard's show talks about this all the time, but it is pretty asinine that the Super Bowl is on a Sunday. It needs to be on a Saturday, right?
Well, I think it's just the NFL's constant plot to upstage God, to be honest.
That's true. The NFL hates Jesus.
Oh my God, we need to delete this intro right now and start again.
We are not going to do that. I am Anthony Irwin. That is Harrison Fagan. We talk about the Lakers on a daily basis on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. Harrison is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I am at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter, where you can find just scorching hot takes on the daily from Harrison. You need to calm down a little bit, man. You're a little too controversial.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely am the one on this podcast known for being controversial. That's me.
So what we're going to talk about today, it's an off day, and on those days we get to wander a little bit. And I was kind of thinking, I was thinking positively about the Lakers, and I was trying to think, have the Lakers ever had a draft that could be as potentially impactful as this Lakers one, the very last one, where they took Lonzo Ball, obviously. They wound up with Kyle Kuzma and Josh Hart, and also Thomas Bryant, who I still am buying stock in. That's quite the haul. When you can get three starters in a draft, that's pretty special. And I asked the question, was that the best Laker draft in the organization's history? I asked that to Harrison. I haven't really gotten a response yet, so we'll see where this goes. Harrison.
The answer may surprise you.
Harrison, is this the best Lakers draft ever?
Kobe better, to be honest, Anthony. No, I think – so if we're looking for – getting if we're looking at it at better, I guess it depends on how you define it. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at better as most contributors to the next great Lakers team, then I think that you'd have to, like, early indications look like this could be one of those. Like, it would be asinine for us to call this the greatest Lakers draft ever when these guys are playing on a lottery team. And or like four, there's four of them. Three of them are playing on a lottery team. One of them is playing in the G League. All of them have shown promise, but let's not forget the Lakers have drafted Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson,
and James Worthy and Michael Cooper
and James Worthy and so yeah, they've drafted a lot of great players in their history, and D'Angelo Russell in Anthony's eyes, and so you know, like, all of those names are obviously, like, they've shown, well, except for, like, D'Lo, but, like, they've all shown far more at the NBA level than anyone in this draft class. And, like, again, like I said, it would be asinine for me to say, yeah, this is the best Lakers draft class ever after 1 year. But
not
they're looking like they could be. And they're looking like if all of these guys hit their ceiling, which is that's a huge if. It's very rare that an NBA team has, like, every single one of their picks hit their ceiling. But if these guys all do kind of hit their ceiling, be as good as they look like they could potentially be early on. Like, you know, Lonzo looks like he could be one of, like, the 10 or 15 best players in the league. Kuzma looks like he'll be a consistent scorer, potentially, like, all-star potential there. Josh Hart looks like probably the Lakers starter at shooting guard for, like, you know, maybe he's not starter right now, and he's probably not starting at shooting guard or whatever. He's probably not going to start. We'll see if he starts next year, but looks like he could be a guy that's contributing to the rotation at a high level at the very least for the next 10 years. Thomas Bryant looks like he could be a very real player, but again, it's in G League, and all of the other guys are just playing for a very bad NBA team. And so they've shown skills, but I don't think that we can call them the best Lakers draft ever yet. Is that the hot take you were looking for?
Obviously, you set the world on fire right there. So let's go through some previous Lakers drafts, like you were talking about. Obviously, the year 1979 when they drafted Magic Johnson is going to come to mind, right? But they didn't draft anybody else that season or that in that off season.
But so, still, Magic.
Yeah, still top five player in the history of the game.
Like,
right?
Greatest point guard to ever play.
In the Kobe draft, everybody thinks of Kobe, but they also took Derek Fisher, who was a starter for, I think it was upwards of 10 years, right? And so that qualifies as, or that those two things, you know, you have the star power in Kobe, but you also have the positional stability that Derek Fisher offered over his career. And that's the kind of thing that we're kind of hoping for with, say, Josh Hart or Kyle Kuzma, that they can maybe fulfill a starting spot for 10-ish years, right? That's the high end ceiling for both of those guys. Although Kyle Kuzma is a little higher, I think he can be.
It almost looks like a given that they'll be there.
Yeah, and Kuzma, I would say, obviously has more upside than Derek Fisher did, and Josh Hart even has. I would say Kuzma has the potential to, at some point in his career, be an all-star, I would say. Maybe like a one-time all-star where he has just like a crazy good season. Maybe the Lakers are really good and he gets the bump from playing on a good Lakers team.
Wow, hater, I was going to say seven-time all-star.
Man, see, what's funny is that people will actually call me a hater for that.
Yeah, that is. No, I remember one time, the funniest thing that I've ever gotten like destroyed for on Twitter was, I think I said Josh Hart looks like he's going to be a player for the, like, he's going to be like a rotation player for the next 10 years. And people took that as an insult.
No, I got that. I got you beat.
For a rookie that almost fell to the second round.
I got you beat. And I'm going to give that to everybody next. People got angry at me because I said Josh Hart was going to win a championship somewhere. And they were like, oh, it's not, you don't think it's going to be with the Lakers, right? And I'm like, what?
Hey, at this point, we don't know anyone who's going to be on the Lakers. That's the other thing about this draft class, and the reason that we have to give them time is because if these guys all get traded to move Lou Aldang's deal, then, you know, that's looking like a much less good draft class.
No, I don't think anybody from this current draft class gets moved along with Lou Aldang, because these are the guys. You know, these are their guys. These are Magic's guys. Huh?
I think there's a chance. I think Hart or Bryant, they would move to get rid of Dang's deal, I think.
No, I don't think so. Because, again, the one thing Magic Johnson really enjoys being is right. Right? And Polinka comes across as the same kind of guy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be out there partaking and pushing forward Kevin Dang's. Just laying it on thick.
Again, really?
Well, no. I mean, I'm saying, like, you don't do that if you don't have a bit of an ego, right? And so, and because of that, I think they want Josh Hart and they want Kyle Kuzma even more than I would say Julius Randle or Larry Nance Jr. or whatever.
I think that's a gift.
They want those guys. They want their guys to have longer Laker careers than the guys who they inherited from a front office that Magic Johnson publicly trampled on, right?
Well, sure, but like Dang's deal is so atrocious, and you know, I think they would move one of those two guys to get rid of it. I don't think that would work. I don't think there's an NBA team that would say, oh, I want Josh Hart so bad I'm willing to take 2 years of Lou Aldang. But if that were on the table, I'm pretty sure the Lakers would do it.
Let us know in the iTunes comments what you think about that, because I don't think I still don't think they would necessarily do that.
So early on, like, do you really think it's the greatest draft ever, or would you, like, you'd put it behind 96 and behind Magic Johnson's year? I'm blanking on that right now.
So I would, early returns puts it top three. I don't think you can put it that Kobe draft where they wound up with a 20 year superstar, MVP, final multi-time finals MVP, five-time champion. That in and of itself is enough to I would say make it a top two draft in the history of the
organization. 100% agree. Like drafting Kobe and Magic, that makes it one of the best draft classes of all time, just automatically.
And the other thing,
you could draft seven Smush Parkers with your other first round picks.
Well, the other thing too is that Kobe was not seen as a known commodity at that point. He was the 13th pick in the draft, right? And there was some controversy about trading away a starting center in Vlade Divac for a shooting guard out of high school. And that, you know, like Magic, he was
I really want to go back and find like old Plaschke takes from that time.
Oh, you know he has them too. But Kobe or Magic was widely considered, even compared to NBA players. Magic was considered, by the time he made his first start in the NBA, a top 10 NBA player. Like his, as soon as he walked onto the court, he wound up winning.
He won a title his first year.
He won a Finals MVP his first year.
Yeah.
So Magic was a 100%.
If you're ever wondering why he thinks he can be like a rookie front office guy and come in and be a genius at it immediately, there you go.
Right, and so he was a known commodity. Everybody knew he was going to be the pick. I believe Dr. Jerry Buss told the owner who preceded him that he wouldn't buy the Lakers if they didn't draft Magic Johnson.
I think that's true.
And so that was the Magic was considered a 100%. That's who was going to be drafted number one overall. They knew that for sure. And obviously things played out and proved that point. Worthy less so? Worthy, there's a debate even now where would the Lakers have been better off drafting Dominique Wilkins over James Worthy? But again, you can't look back
on that. Who is debating that? In the middle of the season, really?
Well, no, I mean, that's
okay.
It's a fun Lakers conversation.
Okay, right? Yeah, I was going to say, like, guys, we got basketball to play still. Like, let's save that one for next August.
Who would you have drafted between those two guys?
We're going to do this for real?
Yeah, I want to know your take here. I think it's a fun one.
I'm going to go Worthy just because we've seen how well he fits with Magic, mm-hmm. but, you know, I don't know. Like Dominique Wilkins joining the Showtime Lakers obviously would have been fun.
Could you imagine Dominique Wilkins dunks
with
Magic
true.
Johnson as a point guard?
Off Magic passes?
Man, not that
yeah,
Worthy...
Magic would be making like the woo noise like
yeah.
he does when he talks about like Larry Nance Jr. dunking on the break.
I just got giddy thinking about it. I'm such a damn basketball nerd. But yeah, so the Worthy draft, I think when you draft a Hall of Famer, that again, that probably moves this one down a little bit. And I'd have to see if they drafted anybody. An underrated draft was the 2005 draft when they drafted Andrew Bynum and Roni Turioff. Roni Turioff played 470 NBA games. Bynum played 400. I'm trying to see down here. In 2007, the Lakers selected Javaris Crittenton and Mark Gasol. And I still will die on the hill that Javaris would have been a good player if he didn't tote guns.
Yeah, so, okay, that's a regrettable one.
Yeah. In 2003, the Lakers drafted Brian Cook and Luke Walton. Both played at least 400 games. That's not a terrible...
No, get them out of here.
That's
no,
not
they're a... not in this debate.
No, I'd say they're like that's like a top 15 draft. That's an okay one.
Have the Lakers only drafted 15 times?
We can keep going here. This is kind of fun. In 1994, they draft Eddie Jones. In 1993, they draft George Lynch and Nick Van Exel. That was
legendary class.
Well, in three consecutive
years. Well,
I guess
Nick Van Exel, yeah.
Yeah, and George Lynch played 774 games. Like, that's a long career.
Okay, so I know this is because I was born in 1991, but I'd never even heard of him until just now.
One of my favorite Laker teams of all time. But in 91 they draft or in 92 they draft Anthony Peeler. In 93 they draft Nick Van Exel. In 94 they draft Eddie Jones. That was a really fun young core. Like That is the goal for this team next year, this current team next year.
So we weren't planning to talk about this, but I actually have kind of an interesting question for you, I think.
Let's get it on the other side of the break. Okay, go.
So I think, like, you talk about that team. You've mentioned this, like, a bunch of times, like, both on and off air. That's one of your favorite Lakers teams ever. Mm-hmm. That team was broken up to pursue a free agent. Mm-hmm. And, like, it just – do you ever feel like this team ultimately ends up going down like that? Like, do you ever feel like a hypocrite for, like, calling out the Lakers for the way that they're managing these young guys when kind of, like, by all accounts, one of your favorite teams ever, they did the same thing to in order to get a superstar free agent?
Well, I don't believe that's necessarily true.
I mean, they
got to
get the superstar free agent first.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and revisit it, but I don't think that's how that played out. Because at one point the Lakers had Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, Shaq, and Kobe all in the All-Star game together.
Yeah, but
and eventually
they broke that team up before they got good.
Well,
again,
they broke that team up
because those guys were marginalized because
they broke that team up because Kobe Bryant turned out to be Kobe, so the need for Eddie Jones wasn't as pivotal, and definitely Anthony Peeler wasn't as pivotal. Nick Van Exel and Shaq kind of publicly didn't get along very well because Nick Van Exel liked to shoot threes like crazy and play at a really high pace, and so the Lakers and the Lakers drafted Derek Fisher. And the other thing too that those teams did very well that I think this team needs to replicate is that they understood that young players can play roles on championship teams. And when they do, when they outperform their contract, it enables you to spend money elsewhere. And so what the Lakers had back then is they were able to cycle through power forwards because Derek Fisher was on his rookie contract and Kobe was also on a rookie contract. And so you were able to go from Horace Grant to Robert Horry to AC Green to Horace Grant to Robert Horry, or you were able to have a Glenn Rice as a small forward. You were able to pursue a Rick Fox because you had guys on the roster elsewhere who were outperforming rookie deals or rookie second contracts. If you follow my drift there,
that's fair.
It wasn't quite the same because they were able to get Shaq while they had those guys, but yeah, when you have a team that has two of arguably the best three players in the league, you have to go all in. You have to do whatever you can to succeed and win titles with that kind of team. And at that point, yeah, there is no young player who you ride with if it means getting in the way of Kobe.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I was just I was just curious if you felt like there were any similarities between the two and whether or not, like, you know, maybe that affected your thinking on them.
Well, the similarity here was that team, so this is what I was saying earlier, was that this current Lakers core needs to be good enough next year, or obviously this year would be preferable, but this young core needs to be good enough to entice a superstar free agent. Shaq signed because he said, wow, look at, I think that team won.
He said, wow, look at all that money and Los Angeles.
That too, but.
And Orlando's local paper running a poll saying the people don't want me back.
Well, I think they.
Shouts to the Orlando Sentinel, like, low key. One of, like, the reasons Shaq ended up in Los Angeles. That's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Press on.
hearing you use that hashtag makes my life. But I would also say, though, that team, I believe, won either close to or they won 50 games before they signed Shaq. And that gets back to the point that you and I make all the time, right? That it takes a good team to convince a free agent. That's what you need that to work out. So that free agent says, okay, yeah, I'll join that. I don't want to be the first piece in a rebuilding process, but if I can set a team over the top, I'm all for that, right?
Well, yeah, and so with that said, that actually kind of leads us into the iTunes question that mm-hmm. I wanted to get to. And so, again, as a quick reminder to people, if you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes with your question, we will get to it. We've been getting to, I mean, basically all of them that are questions we've gotten to. And so this one is from ThenL33, who's asked the question before, and we appreciate your consistent patronage. And he or she says that they don't think that LeBron's coming. You know, they're wondering if Paul George would leave a 50-win team for a 30-win team. Probably not. And so they say, aren't the Lakers better off re-signing Randle, moving Nance, taking assets for more deals expiring in 2020, you know, Gordon Anderson from Houston or Noah from New York, shooting for a 500 playoffs next year and being in position to make trades for Giannis the Brow in the 19-20 season. Right now, the Lakers project desperation. They need to project confidence. They have four potential all-stars and multiple rotation guys on rookie contracts. Why are they begging again? And so I think you and I don't know what your answer is on this. My answer is yes. Like, I feel like they would be better off doing something like that. I don't know if the climate will allow them to.
Woj
or
said,
if like the guys that are running their front office just have the patience for that. I don't know that they do.
Well, so like that's kind of the bummer here, right? Is that you hire a new front office. Now, you hire that front office with the promise of this makes us better suited in a meeting with LeBron, right? Or with Paul George or with whichever NBA superstar that they would be meeting with. And so as soon as you sell that as the number one asset that this new front office offers, then at that point you have to put up or shut up, and you have to produce the kind of superstars that they promised the fans. Now, if we start hearing a lot more verbiage and a lot more spin that says, look, we think in this climate we like what we see from these kids, we want to see where this young core gets us in the next few years. If we can sign a superstar, great. But otherwise, these are our guys. Then cool. Then they reacted and they evolved their ideology to what's better for the organization. But as Woj said, and as you just alluded to, we don't know what the climate is from the ownership on down, right? We don't. Genie at this point is probably pretty sick of ruining the name of the franchise her dad built. She speaks at length about the pride that she has and her family has in the name and the brand that Dr. Jerry Buss built, and is another 30-ish or low 40 win season next year enough progress to continue to say that we are holding up the brand that Dr. Jerry Buss built? I don't know. I don't think, based off of the stuff that we hear from behind the scenes, that that's necessarily the case. And it's,
I mean, they do. To be fair, they have in recent, you know, weeks or over the last month or so, publicly started to kind of walk back the it's free agency or bust thing.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're starting to realize, like, hey, either through back channeling or just through common sense, like, hey, you know, maybe LeBron might not consider this his best option.
Right.
And so,
but
yeah.
But again, though, now I think both things can be true. I think that can be the smarter move right now, but it gets back to that D'Angelo Russell trade and how dumb it was at the time. Right.
Everything's got to tie back to that.
Well, it's true, isn't it? That you make this trade with that in mind and then come to realize, oh, crap, it was crazy of us to put all of our eggs into that one, in my opinion.
Unattainable basket.
Yeah, like they shot their wad way too early, and now.
Oh my god.
Well, now it's kind of now that I would agree with you and the point that the iTunes listener was making is that it is smarter. Even if they sign Paul George and LeBron James, is that enough to beat the Warriors? Is that enough to beat even the Rockets?
I don't know. Are you asking me or LeVar Ball?
I'm asking you, do you think that's enough to beat the either of those teams?
No, I don't think that that's the most likely outcome. But, I mean, it would also depend on what veterans they were able to get around them. But, yeah, I mean, it's probably not enough to beat those guys, no.
Now, that said, you still, if you have the opportunity to sign a LeBron or you sign and a Paul George, you take that opportunity and you take that risk. But there is risk, right? You can
absolutely.
you can, and there's risk both ways, right? Lonzo might not develop. Julius Randle, we might be seeing the absolute best that, that Julius Randle has to offer. We might be seeing the same with Kyle Kuzma. There's risk on both ways of this, but I think you mitigate some of that risk by betting long-term versus putting all of your chips in the middle of the table and saying, all right, we got this.
Yeah, I would agree. And I don't have a whole lot more to add on that, although like I think both of us, I guess, agree that they'd be better off waiting. So to answer that, just to wrap up that question, the last thing on the docket was we have a shouts to at Eggs and Ramen on Twitter for asking this question. We are going to bring back everyone's favorite, I think we only did it once, segment, but you know, ideally we'd have like, you know, children like yelling like, is this tampering? But we don't have like the budget for that. So that's what we got. So we're bringing back, is this tampering? And Jerry West went on Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen's podcast over the weekend. And I saved this, Anthony, for you because I figured you'd want to discuss this. And so Jerry West, he just said, when you're around LeBron James, the one thing you know is that he is smarter than you. As a coach, when you coach him, you better not make a mistake. He is so aware, his basketball IQ is off the charts. Jerry West is a Clippers executive, and he was being like very complimentary of LeBron there and continued to be throughout the interview, like kind of compared him to Kobe as far as like all-time greats, and although like LeBron stans would say that was an insult. But,
Jerry West's official title? Go ahead.
His official title? I don't know that off the top of my head. I think it's probably like vice president of
he's a consultant.
Clippers things.
He's a consultant. So I think at that, okay, being just a consultant gives him a little bit more leeway, right?
I don't know. The Lakers almost got dinged for Magic Johnson's Twitter account because he had a ceremonial title.
Right. No, I agree. I think...
The Raptors, I think, got fined for Drake asking Kevin Durant to Toronto.
You're right.
In a concert. Like, and so I he's not saying NBA. Anything about the Clippers. He's just talking about LeBron. But I don't know. Like, if that's not tampering, then Magic Johnson should be allowed to give a press conference one time a week where he just lists all of the positive things about Paul George and LeBron James and doesn't say anything about signing them. Just says all the reasons he loves them.
Yeah, I would pay to – what kind of compliments would Magic Johnson give Paul George?
Paul George? He'd be like, wow, Paul George, most athletic player I've seen since James Worthy. If he's running on the break with Lonzo – I mean like a good point guard, then, you know, it's like, woo!
Exactly,
I'm just going to wink at him.
Yeah. That's great. He does have to tie everything back to his old team, right?
Yes. All players Magic is complimenting must be compared to a Showtime Laker.
He's like a combination of James Worthy and Michael Cooper.
And Kareem. With Kurt Rambis's toughness.
Yeah, that's great.
He's like all those guys, any team would love to have him. Wink, wink.
I think Jerry West did tamper. I would hope that he gets
no. Fine. See, that's the thing is, I don't think this is tampering. So what Magic should do is just go on like any podcast. You know, I humbly submit this one. Just go on podcasts and just say nice things about LeBron and Paul George, mention wanting to sign them at all.
We could describe players, and he could say, "Yeah, if that guy exists, he would be great."
Yeah, like if a player that hypothetically wore number 13 and was, you know, like a really rangy defender, like about 6'9", could shoot threes a little bit, run off some screens, pretty athletic, you know, just overall like really solid player on offense and defense. Is that the type of guy you'd want to sign? Also, his name rhymes with Schmall Schmorge.
Yes.
He's from Palmdale.
Sign me up. Sign me up. I want that guy, says Magic Johnson.
If the fictional LeBron James from Trainwreck became available in free agency. Again, fictional. Magic, would you sign him?
If there was a player from the greater Cleveland area who was 6'9", built like a truck, had maybe the best vision of any player since yourself, Magic Johnson, would you sign that player?
We already have Larry Nance Jr.
That would be Luke Walton's response.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, that does it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am losing my voice once again, This is not getting old at all. Thank you very much for tuning in. As always, you can find the show on all of the traditional platforms you can find podcasts on. If you have a platform that you would like us to try to make happen, we have really good people in the network at trying to make those kinds of things happen. So let us know, and we will go from there. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Also, one last thing. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere you can send your resume to replace me as host. That's not allowed.
Same, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
I'm not accepting resumes for Anthony's replacement. And Anthony, I hope you will extend me the same courtesy.
I would agree, although apparently...
But if you want to send your resumes to someone, send them to Grant Goldberg, at Grant Goldberg. He really appreciates people asking him for work, and like he is in control of being able to give people jobs at all the outlets that he works at. So just remember, at Grant Goldberg, slide in his DMs, tell him that you like his work, and tell him that he can work, that you'd like to work with him.
Do that. Have a good one, everybody.